Welcome to the Kelly Cardenas Podcast, where attitude is everything. On today's show, I've been waiting on this. I asked for a second interview on the first interview that I had, and this is the most listened to podcast that I've ever had. And so please welcome back to the show the president of the MENA Group, Mr. Patrick Uhmel.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm honored to make it back a second time. Steve Martin hosting SNL. Alex Baldwin. I just keep coming back and back. So.
Well, I think it's so cool, man. We were just talking, about you were away. You took off to Hawaii. You guys were gone. You and your family were gone for how long?
For about 3 months.
Wow, man. I mean, tell us about that. Tell me more about this 3 month being in Hawaii. I mean, but obviously under a little bit different conditions, but the conditions in Hawaii are always awesome.
Well, we decided to sell our house in Marin, and we were kind of weighing out some options, and the kids were not in school. It was all virtual classroom, and as we kind of we're looking at what we're going to do, we said, why don't we just go to Hawaii for a bit? Nothing's happening with restaurants and projects and things that require me to be here in the mainland. The kids aren't back in the classroom yet. They're doing everything virtually. All it means is they've got to wake up, 2 hours earlier. And they'll be done with their day by 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they can have the rest of the afternoon to be on the beach. And so it seemed like a no brainer. And, so we sold our house, we moved out, and we went to, Kailua for 3 months.
Well, I think it's amazing. The other thing that's amazing is your stash right now, man. It's very Magnum PI. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm feeling the stash. I haven't seen you with the stash before, but I'm loving it, man. Talk to me too, because like you blew my mind on the first podcast when I got a chance to be able to sit with you. You talked to me about like 2 hours in the morning that you would get up and you would be without your family. Like, and you would spend time, you would get ready, you would do all these things, which I thought was so incredible. Right. And those things that we have, as far as a routine, you had that routine before the coronavirus stuff, you have been through the ringer. You're in one of the hardest hit industries. When I'm laughing, I'm not laughing like, at you. I'm laughing because I'm in a hard hit industry, but not as hard as you. So can you take us through, like, you were doing these Zen kind of moments, getting away. Did you continue doing these things through the highs, the lows, and all those things as all this stuff happened?
Absolutely. What's interesting is I heard this analogy a little bit after we had talked, and I heard it from Jay Shetty. I don't know if you know who Jay is, but he has that book out called Think Like a Monk, and he's been making the podcast rounds. And he was talking about how, having your morning routine is really like, if you think about the days of like being a warrior or a samurai, before you went out about the town, you would put on your armor to prepare, right? And he equated the morning routine to essentially doing that. And I can't endorse that concept more. With the peaks and the valleys and the highs and the lows and everything that's going on, if I didn't spend those 2 hours every day putting my armor on, so to speak, to preparing my mind, my body, my spirit, my soul for everything that was coming at me, I don't know. I don't know how I would have had the emotional strength or fortitude to not just feel, to not just have the wind sucked out of me on a daily basis. And because I was able to do that, it made me ready, resilient, proactive. So yeah, I do it, every day. It's fun. Like sometimes I know, I want to have a lazy Sunday, right? I want to have a lazy Sunday where I just want to stay in bed all day with my wife. I want the kids to come in. I want us to watch, shows and, we're just laying around in bed. But I know in order to do that, I got to wake up and get my 2 hours done so I can then pop back into bed and have the rest of the day and be lazy with them.
Dude, you're a straight superhero, man. But I tell you, like, I haven't got to 2 hours. There's been days where I've got to 2 hours, but I've started to do it. You inspired me, which I thought was amazing. Take us through. I want to hear the valleys and the peaks through this whole time, because when we talked the last time, not the last time that you and I talked, but when we had you on the podcast the first time, we were going into it. Okay. We were going into the coronavirus stuff, like, you know, the shutdowns, all those things, but you've been opened up, shut down. I mean, this has been like Catholic Church. It's like, stand up, sit down, fight, like everywhere, all over. Talk to us about, you know, those hills and valleys and what are some of the things practically that you were able to do to work yourself through it?
You know, I think, some of the biggest valleys for me personally, is the feeling of helplessness, of not having an ability to, you know, to really protect our, you know, the team as much as you want to not having the ability to do as much as you want, for people. And that just feels terrible. It doesn't rest easy with me. It doesn't feel good. And, you know, whether it was in March or, you know, when we are, you know, and after in the middle of summer, when we shut down again, or in during Christmas time, when we shut down again, it was frustrating. You know, it was frustrating and sometimes infuriating to see that airlines and airplanes are operating at 100%. And they got a bailout from the government, and us restaurants can't even operate at any percent on the inside, and we're not getting any assistance from the government. And so I think, you know, those are the valleys. And, you know, but I, you know, as much as I'd want to, you know, get frustrated or mad or whatever, I wouldn't let it get too negative. And I was always find the positive, figure out the positive, figure things out. How can we come, you know, what can you do instead of shining a light on the negative? How can we shine a light on the positive and get more positive energy out there? And I really truly believe that energy begets energy, right? And just like if I go to the grocery store and I make eye contact with the cashier and I smile at them and I thank them and I send them good juju, I think that reverberates and goes back out into the world. And they might have had a bad day up until that point, but because they felt some positive energy, that they might, you know, get a little pep in their step and feel a little bit better, and then pay that forward to somebody else. And so, you know, rather than, you know, focus on kind of all the negativity of what was going on, I always wanted to focus on shining a light on the positivity. And so, you know, yeah, you can feel helpless because you can't help everybody, but you know what? You can help somebody, and you can do one little thing. And, you know, Mother Teresa said, do small things with great love. And that was, you know, that's kind of what pulled me out. So if we can just continue to do small little things for people, maybe it's not huge, but at least you're doing something, and it then can have that impact. Right. And so that was really how, you know, for me personally, I, you know, chose to kind of climb out of the valleys. The peaks, I think, you know, there is peaks around every corner. And that's, again, putting the pot, you know, obviously I'm not being, you know, Pollyanna, I'm not, you know, looking at the world with rose-colored glasses, but it's always trying to find the positive in every moment, and being able to spend more time with your kids, and, you know, having everybody, you know, under one roof at one time, and, you know, not traveling for, you know, over 3 months, and, you know, being able to have movie night every night, and, you know, all these types of things. I mean, these are memories that will be imprinted on my children's lives forever. And so, to me, those were the peaks. Being able to go to Hawaii for 3 months and, you know, have sunrise Sundays, where every Sunday we got up, you know, and went and walked Lanikai Beach and saw the sunrise as a family, and then got donuts afterwards. I didn't eat the donuts, but they did. But, you know, those are the types of things that only this could have brought upon. So I'm, you know, while there has been, you know, a lot of valleys, I'm extremely grateful for the peaks that we've experienced.
Another pause for station identification and shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Finley Cars of Las Vegas. I tell you, next level in the car buying experience, and not only that, but the life of your car, the service that you're going to experience is incredible. It's Finley Volvo Cars LV.com. And also brought to you by Bling Shine Serum, the only product on the market that will add weightless moisture, strength, and shine, and the only product that has the endorsement of my mama. When I showed her all the features and benefits, she smelled it and she said, "This is the greatest product that you've ever done." And I thought, "Mom, do you not look at the features and benefits?" She said, "No, if it smells like that, it must work." And I tell you, every single woman needs a little bit of bling in their life, and this can be purchased at KellyCardenasSalon.com. It blows me away, Patrick, because every layer that I peel back with you, every time, and we've known each other for, I can't believe it's been almost 22 years now. And as I peel back the layers, it just keeps getting better and better. I peeled back a layer of, you introduced me to International Smoke, and you spoiled me to, I cannot eat barbecue anymore. I can't eat barbecue anymore because, I mean, it was just on such a different level. Like, I've never had brisket that way before. I mean, it literally, when people say it melts, like, no one has had it melt the way that it does at International Smoke. It was incredible. But the reason why I wanted to say that is because the service level and the culture of the people, whether I was talking to somebody on the phone that didn't know who I was, or I was talking to someone who knew who I was because of you, it was all the same. Talk to us about building a culture like this, because this is a living, breathing organism that you've been able to create over time, and you keep replicating it. And most people, if they do it once, it's like lightning in a bottle. They're like George Costanza, I'm out. But with you, you open a new restaurant and it gets better. Like, the culture gets better. What are the building blocks for that? Where would a person start in doing that?
Well, I think the first thing is understanding what your vision is and your why, right? And you know, as a person, as a group, as a team, as a business, and then being able to articulate that and share that with others, and then finding people that find that their whys kind of line up to that. And so that's the right people, getting, you know, the right people on board. You know, for us, we always want to make sure that we're hiring for attitude, not necessarily aptitude. You know, we want to make sure that the team members that we're bringing in are fun loving. And then it's about, you know, we have a very simple kind of Venn diagram. You hire the right people, you train them and you develop them, and then you hold them accountable and help them execute. And if you think about those three things, if you hire the right people, but you never train and develop them, but all you do is hold them accountable, guess what? They're going to become disenchanted. You know, you never taught me how to do anything. You didn't show me the way. I didn't know that this was the system. They're going to leave you. If you hire the wrong people, all you're going to do is train and develop them, right? Because they're the wrong people. You're never going to get a time to execute, right? If you hire the right people and you train and develop them, but then you don't keep score and you don't tell them how they're doing, you don't give them feedback, and you don't help them execute, and you don't hold them accountable, then they're not going to uphold the standards. And so you have to do all three of those with a great intensity. You have to hire the right people. You have to constantly train and constantly develop, and then you hold accountable and help execute. So that's one part of the puzzle. The other part, though, is I believe that everybody wants to produce great results. I believe that when people come to work for us, they're coming because they want to be part of something special. And then it's our job as leaders to make sure we're delivering on the special and holding ourselves accountable to delivering on the workplace that everybody thought they're going to be a part of, right? They think they're going to be part of something special. They want to be one of the best restaurants in town. They want to make make good money. They want to learn. They want to, you know, you can just check down the list. And so it's our job as leaders and as managers and as coaches to make sure that we're creating that environment. And if we do, we catch magic, and it just kind of, it has that snowball effect of people that now become true custodians of the culture. They're custodians of the legacy, where there's people that might care more about a detail of service or the way things are done or a system than you might, because you know you've created that, you've kind of created that environment for them. And so that's really how we've been able to see the type of success that we've been able to replicate and encounter within our company.
Well, I tell you, you keep getting better. You just touched on something, and I want to dive into this part of it. You just said, and I had never heard this before, you said a custodian of the culture, but then you took it to that Patrick Ewell level, which you always do. There's always that other gear. You said a custodian of the culture, and then ultimately a custodian of the legacy. Can you talk to the difference? Because most people only get to culture. I've never heard anyone talk about being a custodian of the legacy.
Right. Well, you know, again, this is all under the premise that people want to be part of something great. You know, whether it's you're working in a hair salon, you're working in a restaurant, you're working, you know, you want to be, you know, you want to achieve, you want to be part of something special, you want to be part of something great. Well, that doesn't just happen, right? You talk to your coworkers, you talk to other peers in different industries. You know, everybody's got goals and everybody has intentions and what they want to create and how they want this to manifest into their life. But they can't, like, hope can't be a strategy, right? You can't just hope it's going to happen. You have to, everybody has to put in the work and contribute to making that happen. You know, if you want to be, you know, the best basketball team in the NBA, you can't say, okay, we're going to be the best basketball team in the NBA. Yes, everybody wants to be that. Yes, yes, yes. But not put in the hours of practice and not put in the hours of drills and not get physically conditioned. You've got to do all the work that it takes to make your intention, to make your goals and desires manifest into reality. And so, you know, for us, we don't just want to create a restaurant that's special or that has relevance or meaning for a year. We want to create a place that's an institution, that's a cornerstone of that community, and it's a place that we're all proud about. And that, you know, that's the legacy that we want to leave behind. We want to leave behind a legacy of great service. And so that just doesn't happen because we want that. That happens because every single person that works within that restaurant, they have to believe in it, they have to buy into it, and then they have to make the decision to execute that on a daily basis. And it's that simple. All you have to do is make that decision. It's like, I want to have a clean house. Well, all you have to do is decide that, you know, throwing your socks, you know, into the hamper and missing them isn't acceptable, right? If you throw your socks into the hamper and you miss the hamper, you got to go and make the decision to pick up your socks and put them in the hamper. But it's that, and it's silly, but it's that replicated 1,000 times that lead up to a filthy house, right? Oh, because you didn't wipe down the counter after you made breakfast, and because, you know, you let the dog track in mud and you didn't clean it up, and everything continues to add up until you're in a place that is just exhausting to try to fix. And so if you have the mindset where you're not going to let any one of those things happen, you know, in your business, in your organization, and within your team, and everybody's a custodian and a gatekeeper of that, then it's very easy to stay focused and on track towards what you want to achieve instead of getting caught up in the clutter of stuff.
So talk to me about, you said number one, well, I want to peel this apart too, because it's, again, the simplicity of it is mind blowing, but the whole concept of the right people train and execute and reward, right? So do I get that right? I messed up on the last one.
Yeah. Hold accountable, hold execute. Accountable.
Yeah. So hold accountable, right? So we got get the right people, train the people, and then hold the people accountable.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to find the right people. Tell us, let's take it through you. Okay. We're hiring, say you and I, we come up with a concept. I wish I did, of International Smoke, because honestly, that is, I mean, and I know all your restaurants are gangster and I've got to experience them and it's the best in the world, but I'm telling you, International Smoke, like it blew my mind. My dad had it. My dad is still talking about it.
Awesome.
My pops loves you, by the way, too. So if you could do a shout out to pops, you know, in this segment, it would be good. Let's talk about the right people. We're doing International Smoke. We came up with the concept. We got the concept. Okay, Patrick, you go in. Tell us about the right person that we're looking for.
So, you know, ultimately, one, it's, we look for people that are winners or can be winners, right? It doesn't mean that they're, you know, and so I want to kind of qualify that and say that, someone that's a winner or can be a winner means that they're always keeping score, not against others. They're keeping score against themselves. They're always measuring how well they're doing, how they're performing. They're always kind of constantly pushing themselves. They don't accept status quo. They're not weather reporters. They don't have the victim mentality where things always happen to them. They make things happen. That's first and foremost. And they have, what we call the champion spirit, which means that they're passionate about being great in everything that they do. Again, it doesn't mean they're going to be great in everything they do, but it means if it's worth their time, it's worth them doing as great as they as a person could possibly do it. Right. You know, if we put you in the kitchen and say, okay, Kelly, come make us, we want you to make us dinner tonight. And we're going to get, we've got it right. You're knowing you, you're going to try to do that as best as you possibly can. You're probably going to study for weeks. You're going to think, obsess over things. You're going to make phone calls. You're going to leverage relationships to then produce something that you think is the best product that you could produce. Right. And that's that quality. That's the champion spirit, is that anything that's worth you doing, you're going to do as well as you can do. And so, having that winning mindset, having the champion spirit, but then, we want people that are fun loving, right? That are, that you want to be around, right? And, a lot of times, people will say, well, what does that matter? Well, it matters because we're in the restaurant business, right? This is where people are coming to be entertained. And if they don't want to be around our team, then why would they want to be around? Then why would they want to come to the restaurant, right? And so we want to make sure that our team's fun loving. We want to make sure that they're, constantly enhancing our values. And what that means is that, obviously we've got a system as a set of standards and what we hold near and dear to our hearts. And we want people that, that come in and love that and then say, how can I make that better? How can I add more to that and add more value? And so that's some of the criteria that we take a look at. And the last one is that they've got that spirit of Kaizen, which is the spirit of continual improvement. And making sure that every day, it's not big steps. You're not going to go from, meditating 0 minutes a day to 30 minutes a day, but maybe today it's going to be 1 minute, and tomorrow or next week it's 2 minutes, and the week after it's 5 minutes. And little by little, they're going to make small, tiny improvements. And so, those are kind of the filters that we look at when we're putting a team together.
So when you're doing this, right? So we have that overview of the type of person. Tell me about, like, when you walk in and there's an applicant, what are some of the things, because I know the listeners right now, and I'm curious about this too, because you're a genius at it. You put crazy teams together. I think that, for me, you're like a professional coach. You're like an NFL coach or an NBA coach, right? And you put these teams together. They're just so phenomenal. What are some of the things, the normal things that most people, the nuances that most people don't see, that when you see a person do, you say, that's my team member, or that's not happening?
I think the biggest thing for me is humility, is how, making sure humility, but confidence, right? How I want to see how well they're going to communicate, their abilities and flex, right now it's, it's via Zoom. We're not really meeting a whole lot of people in person, but I want to see how well they can flex while remaining humble. And I want to, what I love doing, and I'm probably giving away a little bit behind the scenes, but I like going down a path on an interview. I like going very technical, and then having a weird question. And then and like something that's more like spiritual or lovey-dovey, and then technical, and then another weird question. So I might be asking you, okay, tell me about, you know, a project that you came up with at your last job that failed, and why did it fail? And okay, and then you talk about that. And okay, tell me about somebody that you mentored, and you know what ended up with them. And tell me about food costs at your restaurant. And then I'll say, if you could take a billboard on the middle of Times Square, what would you put on it? Right. And so it just, and seeing how people respond to that. Right. And some people, it will catch them off guard, and it will kind of shake them. And so I like shaking them a little, because I want to see how well they deal with, with being poked. At the end of the day, how well they answer things, you know, rally back and keep focused, is kind of where I get, you know, my insight. And it's, you know, one, it's about humility, but also confidence. And then, you know, and then really it's about, how do they look at the world? How do they look at others? How do they look at this, you know, what we're doing? I think I've said this before, I think life's one indivisible whole. You can't do right in one part of your right and do wrong in another and say, okay, I'm great. I think the way you do anything is how you do everything. I look at character and I try to understand how they view the world, how are they going to view their team? How are they going to view the guests? How are they going to view our relationship? And so it's trying to get into that headset.
Tell me about a specific. I had one where I was interviewing this kid, and I said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And she was doing good in the interview. And she said, well, my dad's done it, my uncle's done it, my grandfather did it, so I could not see myself. And she paused. And she said, raising snakes for the rest of my life. And I was like, I thought I was in an episode of the Twilight Zone. I just busted out laughing, and she was serious. And I was thinking, why are you even applying that? We don't raise snakes. That's not what I'm in for. Can you tell us about a specific where you had, and we're not going to say any names, Patrick, but where you were in an interview and you were just like, did this really just happen?
I can. This is a while ago, and I was interviewing a busser, a server assistant, and he went I'm not exaggerating, from a normal conversation about, obviously when you're interviewing bussers, it's different than when you're interviewing managers or waiters. Every interview is different. But so we're talking about sports and about team and about this. And then all of a sudden, he just started talking about this, like, I guess for lack of a better word, like this demon or devil. And he just started going, you know, describing him as he was sitting there with us, and why is he here? What is he, you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Why is this demon, this devil here with us? Why is he part of this process? And just kind of, I was freaking out, man. And I started, my palms were sweaty, my feet started. I mean, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And so, you know, I tried to get done with the interview as soon as possible. But he kept looking at like the seat next to me, which there was nothing. And then when I said bye, I didn't know if this guy was just going to completely lose it on me. But then he was walking out, and he kept turning around, looking back to where he thought this gentleman was. And it freaked me out. So that was the wildest experience thing that ever happened to me.
So let's go on to the second stage. where you're, I think that girl that I was interviewing and that guy, they were probably brother, sister, or something like that. So they're probably working together, raising snakes right now. So Patrick, tell me about the training process, because I just found out yesterday. I had a guest, and I'm number one, I always say this, like, I'm not a college educated. I'm not a really smart guy, but I have really smart friends. And so I like to ask a lot of questions of, that's why I have you here, my really brilliant friends. He's a scientist. And I asked him about serotonin. We were talking about serotonin and dopamine, right? And what he said is serotonin and dopamine aren't the challenge. It's the receptors that the person has that when the dopamine hits, that it actually activates in the body. And he said, so if you have a receptor in a certain area of your body and you get hit with dopamine, it can cause a negative effect. And so what I was thinking, like as we were talking about it, what it made me think of is I've always been a system guy, like, you know, hey, if we do this, then this will happen. But what he was helping me to understand on almost a cellular level, that as an individual, if your receptor is different, then you'll accept that information completely different. Does that make sense? You see where I'm going with this? How do you take training that you need to be at this elite level, which you guys are, and you have all these individuals from all over the place, and we go into the training system, and you're now having to train them all to, how are you able to communicate to all those different type of people and get on the same page?
That's a great question. So here's what I think is that we set the stage for how we view what we do. And explain it in a way that I think resonates, to everybody. And what, so let me, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. So I don't think that what we do is we just, you know, cook food and serve food and clean tables and clear dishes and wash dishes and make drinks, right? Obviously those are like functions of what we do, but I think we have the great honor and the great privilege of meeting people in the highlight of their day. And we get to be part of that, and we get to be that 2 hour, that 3 hour spectacular time that they get to spend, that they've looked forward to all day, all week, all month, all year. And you know, if you look at a person's day, and you're in a much similar situation too, right? If you look at a person's day, and if they rate it from a scale 1 through 5, like 1, this sucks, 5, this is awesome. Okay. They wake up. Most people don't like getting up out of bed, right? It's like, I got to get up. I was having such a nice sleep, great dream, da, 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 whatever. And then, you know, so they rate that probably a 1. You know, getting ready, you know, for work, that's probably average 3 for people. You know, the commute is probably a 1 or a 2. Getting to the office, you know, if you're lucky and you work in a place that you love, that might be a 5 or 4. But always, if, you know, where you're going to eat that night, or, you know, when you're going to have a dinner date, or you're seeing your buddies that you haven't seen in a while, or you're meeting your sister from Austin, that's a 5, right? And people celebrate those 5s at restaurants. And so for us to be invited into that space, it's an honor. And so I think when we start talking about that and sharing that honor that we get to do that, we get to serve people and we get to nourish them. We get to provide them with food that their bodies absolutely need. We get to entertain them. We get to create memories, and we get to live in the highlight reel of their lives. That's powerful stuff. That's amazing. And that's what we get to do. And I can't help but get excited about that. You're right. And I can't help but share that excitement with people and our team. And I believe that everybody starts going, yeah, Iron Man pancakes, right? They start going, they start getting excited. We start selling, you know, and it's not, it is selling, but it's not snake oil. This is the legit stuff. And this is what we truly believe. And this is where we truly live. And this is what we truly do. And so it's getting people bought in and selling the dream of what we're doing, what we're trying to achieve, and level setting everybody with that mindset and getting everybody bought into that, that then allows the receptors to be turned on, right? So they can start receiving the knowledge as far as, okay, here are all the things that we're going to do for that, because we want to yield that, right? And And sure, there's some people that see it in different ways. And so it's just a matter of taking it, you know, it's just like of translating what we're talking about into the language that how they're going to receive it. You know, for us a lot, you know, lately we've been talking about, it's funny, in our leadership team, we've been talking about love language and making sure that we're tuning in to our team's love language and understanding, okay, this person, you know, needs affirmation. This person needs time. This person needs acts of service and, you know, all the different things. And looking at our team that way helps us to know how to get them to best receive the tools, the skills, the systems, the standards, everything that we want to train them on. And it's, you know, because it's not one size fits all, just like you said. So that's kind of, I hope I, you know, articulated what, you know, your kind of our process, our philosophy, our thought about that.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you're enjoying it. Now's the time to do some shameless promotion. This episode is brought to you by Squeeze Dried, a delicious, no-hassle way to get superfoods, vitamins, and nutrition. SqueezeDried.com. It's also brought to you by Cardenas Law Group, a high-level boutique law firm for all your personal injury needs. That's CardenasLawGroup.com. Thank you so much again for listening. Hopefully you're continuing to enjoy the episode. You always do. And this is the thing that I want to go into the brain of Patrick. And I'm already asking for a third podcast. I want a fifth. I want a tenth. I want to continue to go inside the brain and into the mentality, because I've never seen someone do it at your level, where most of the time when a person has the type of visionary level that you do, they get almost bogged down in the day-to-day processes. How are you able to empower people so Patrick gets to do Patrick things, as opposed to Patrick having to do this hat, that hat, this hat, this hat, this hat? You get to stay in Patrick's lane all the time, but that takes all the rest of the people doing their jobs at a super high level. Talk to us about that empowerment.
Well, I mean, we've got an amazing team. You know, we're fortunate. I think we've got some of the most wildly talented team of individuals in the world that work in our restaurants. And you know, they have, you know, a lot have grown through the organization and worked different, you know, positions and kind of have just continued to evolve and grow up within the company. And so that always helps with keeping the foundation and the house intact, is people that, you know, had, you know, that, you know, learned it, bought it, did it, you know, and then now are teaching it. It always helps to make sure that, you know, the culture and everything stays on track. And so that's it. We've got, it's as simple as that. We've got amazing, talented people that are highly committed, super passionate, all have the champion spirit, and are in love with what they do, that allow, you know, myself and Michael and our, you know, to be able to do, you know, do us, it's a beautiful thing. That, you know, listen, I mean, there's a lot of times we have to get into the weeds, with things, just like, you know, any other organization. There's times when, you know, we opened a restaurant in Springfield, Massachusetts, and, you know, it's a funny story, but I could smell it in the air. But so the restaurant is an Italian restaurant, a full service restaurant. We're open lunch and dinner, but we had this pizza window that was on the casino floor. And it was kind of, you know, pizza by the slice, beautiful pizzas, you know, but I knew that I was out of anything that was going to be our Achilles heel, it was going to be that pizza window. I knew we were underestimating it. It was, you know, we hadn't dealt with something like a pizza window in the middle of a casino floor before. Restaurants are right down, you know, the middle of the plate for us. That's our wheelhouse. And so when we open, we have, you know, probably anywhere from 10 to 12 task force, you know, leadership that are there helping people learn their job and this and that. And, you know, everybody's, you know, running around the restaurant, and, you know, getting ready for service, and you know, the pizza window opened up at, you know, like 10 o'clock or 10:30, and as soon as we opened the pizza window, I'm not even kidding you, there was a line around the casino floor, probably 200-300 people deep, and from 10 o'clock, 10:30 to 2 a.m. that line stood. I mean, it was like, it just, no matter how many people we got through, there's just more and more and more and more people. And so I was the order taker or whatever, you know, the pizza guy. And so I worked that from, you know, I knew it was going to be an issue. And so, you know, was that the, you know, the best use of, you know, my time? I think so, probably, because it helped get a machine working and get kind of the bugs out and the cogs out. And also, you know, it's always good to get a good smackdown, where you're serving slices of pizza for 14 hours straight. And to get a nice, you know, slice of humble pie, no pun intended. But those are the things you have to do. You have to get down in the weeds, and then you got to jump back up and get back up at 10,000 feet and take a inventory and, you know, what's going on. But I'll tell you again, going back to what we started talking about, those 2 hours every day when, you know, especially, you know, when you get to just sit and think and be alone and meditate and, you know, that's where almost all of the problem solving for the day comes from, or from the night, you know, when I think about the issues from the previous day, that's where 100% almost of all the clarity is born from those seeds that are sown.
So when you're going through it, right, you have a Michael, and then, you know, when Michael has you, he really is free to be able to be Michael, right? And I saw this happen with John Paul. So John Paul, when he brought on Luke Jacobellis became the president of the company, and it really freed John Paul to be John Paul. Talk to us about the mentality of, because a lot of times people get into a Patrick situation or a Luke Jacobellis situation. I'm not saying a lot of people get there, but I mean, the people that do, a lot of people look and say, they get close, and then they start to say, well, why is he doing that as opposed to continuing to serve? Can you talk about that servant mentality, even at the highest level? Because you're at a place where, I mean, you know, you're at the highest level in your company and in your organization, which is one of the top in the industry. A lot of times, you know, we look at it in sports, right? You have a phenomenal tandem that is complementary. We know of one that went to Brooklyn. Right? Ain't going to win those championships, but we know of one that went there, and it was like, no, it was about me. How are you able to keep in line? Like, you have this team concept, and we both know that together you're going to create crazy things, right? And you already are, and you're continuing to grow. How do you stay in that mindset?
You know, I think it's one, it's humility. Two, it's understanding really what the key are the people, the key are the team, right? And it's everybody that's cooking, everybody that's mixing a drink, everybody that's greeting a guest. Those are the heroes. That's the Nina group. Those are the people, that are making it happen. It's not Patrick. It's not Michael. It's not, you know, anybody up at the executive level. It's all those people. So, you know, we've got to focus on serving them and getting them in the position so they can perform their job with grace and with ease and with passion and with love. And so just if having that at the forefront of, you know, in the front of your mind part of the continual dialogue throughout the organization keeps everybody rooted in humility. Second is, again, I think it's when everybody loves what they're doing, everybody loves working together and understands each other. It makes it a lot easier to remove the ego. But you know, we there's not a whole lot of ego in our company. There is at times, when you have to, right. You have to kind of, alpha dog it up a bit for certain things, and, whether it's negotiating a deal or, trying to right a ship or that type of stuff. But for the most part, it's more about the group and the greater good, than it is for any one individual. And, I love the story that talks about Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, and, when Phil Jackson gives him, Kipling's, Jungle Book, and, it talks about the law of the jungle is this, the strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack is in the wolf. Right. So it's, the individual is strong because of the team, and the team is strong because of the individual. And so that's something that, we always, I always think about, and our team, it's out there, and we always remind people about that concept about, the strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack is in the wolf. And so I think it's a combination of all those things that just allow us to, to be able to jam for so long and to do what we do.
Well, I think it's incredible. The reason why I ask, Patrick, is because you are you're the embodiment of humility. And I don't think of humility, I mean, you understand what I'm talking about, but humility is a combination of strength. It's knowing that you can do it, but allowing other people to be in their spot because you know it's what they need at the particular time. And I mean, you are such an example to me, man. And when I think of humility, and I think of when I think of gangster, right? Gangsters never hurt you because they know they could. Gangsters know everything that's going on in the room, but they don't move fast. They move very slow, right? And they make sure that they can see everything. But again, they're never trying to flex because there's no reason to fight a five-year-old. Does that make sense? Right. And you've always been that example to me, and I want to honor you in that. Okay, you talked about 2 hours in the morning. Okay, 2 hours in the morning, get me prepared, put on my armor. There is no way you could have been, if we would have been talking a year ago, yeah, it would have been, but maybe a year and a half ago. If I would have told you, Patrick, you got to get ready to be doing takeout in every single restaurant that you have, you would have looked at me and been like, you don't know what restaurant I work with, brother, right? Talk to us about how you were able to, because you innovated on this and then you blasted off. Is that going to be something that's the norm as we move forward with you guys' restaurants?
Yeah, I think, it'd be, we'd be foolish not to continue to keep that revenue stream open. I think that, one of the peaks, one of the blessings that this past year has brought us is it's allowed us to kind of break free from the shackles, of kind of the near, of what we thought, brand is and what we thought, our concepts were, and to be able to kind of break the rules a bit and to explore in this, delivery world and, this at home restaurant world. And, we've been able to really come up with a lot of fun and innovative offerings and concepts, and to grow in the right way and still been able to maintain a certain amount, the brand integrity that we want to maintain. And it's not, before, if you would have seen, Michael Mina doing, on DoorDash, you might've said, ooh, that's kind of, is that right for their brand? Or, I have to second guess that. But now, because of what this has done, is you've seen every chef there. And so now people are used to seeing it. They understand. People have been very forgiving and very accepting and really encouraging during this time. And so people, it's opened the doors for your brand to kind of enter arenas that you might have not thought was appropriate before. You might have not thought that you could, and it's working out. So we're going to keep that process going. We're going to keep the doors open, so to speak, for that, and continue to grow and evolve and just do it really well.
I'm not going to tell you to give away trade secrets. tell us something that's on the horizon that's blowing your mind right now that you're so like there's the pee my pants kind of thing. Like I say today I was talking with our crew and I was telling them, I said, I really want to push on being able to take a woman and highlight her hair while she's laying down. Like to be able to have, you can imagine like a barber chair, right? And mm-hmm. you have a barber chair, but why couldn't a woman lay back and her hair falling like down off? And then we were working from that place, which would make it more comfortable for the hairdresser, all this stuff. I mean, maybe it'll be the worst idea in the whole entire world, but thought it was kind of cool. What's the pee your pants thing right now for Patrick when you're thinking about the MENA group?
Well, there's a couple. I think for us, it's these, you know, virtual restaurants that we've been able to develop that now we think that we can carve out, you know, space within our in dining restaurants or restaurants that people come to and be able to create, you know, these virtual concepts out of them. So we, you know, have not just the four wall revenue, but we also have that, you know, third party delivery platform revenue for a number of different concepts. And so we're excited about that. And we think we've got a pretty good kit of parts and strategy as it pertains to that. I'm really excited about, I think that for plant-based, I think plant-based dining, fun plant-based restaurants are going to, we're working on a couple things. I'm really excited about that and where that's going. And, vegetarian, vegan, plant-based restaurants I've always been kind of, you know, it smells like wheatgrass when you get in, you know, kind of granola-y type of places. And I really think that more and more people are going to take it serious and it's going to be a full on dining experience. And I'm excited about that space. It, you know, that kind of gets me giddy with excitement. And, you know, for us also as an organization, we're looking at, you know, building, a learning center in kind of a campus in Las Vegas. And so I'm really excited about that, about, you know, what we're going to do in kind of trying to just take our education, our training and development to that next level. And so that gets me really giddy with excitement, too.
Here we go again with the shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Piper Diamonds for all your jewelry needs. My necklace that I get complimented all over the country and all over the world. My pendant was made by Piper Diamonds Company. This place is absolutely phenomenal. When you're looking for that special something for that special someone, Piper Diamonds is the only answer. It's piperdiamonds.co. And it's also brought to you by Kelly Cardenas Salon in Las Vegas and in Chicago. This is top-level service, guys, without the ego, and hands down, the greatest shampoo experience that you will ever have in your life. This will create an evangelistic type experience. You will be talking about this for years and years to come. The wash house, completely separate area, different sound system, soundproofed, head, neck, and shoulder massage. You will be over the moon with your experience, and you can schedule your appointment at KellyCardenasSalon.com. Enjoy the rest of the episode. So let's go specifically. I want to go one more in this part of it. Tell me something specifically as far as technology that that's making you pee your pants, like that, but that's not like happening right now. That Patrick, because Patrick is a visionary, and that Patrick's thinking about, because I remember telling my crew, this was probably 7 years ago. I said, guys, there's going to be the day where we don't have any products on the shelf. All there is TV screens. On the TV screen, you're going to touch a TV screen, say that you want this product. It's going to drop ship to your house immediately. You're going to walk out. You're already going to be scanned. Your body will be scanned, and then you'll be charged. This was 7 to 10 years ago, and all my crew was like, you're crazy. Why are you even talking about that? And I'm like, that stuff happens in Amazon stores now. What are some of the technology that is like that Elon Musk thing that you're thinking about that's like, if I could have this, that would, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to wear pants because I pee them all the time.
You know, I think that there's going to be this has opened the door for a lot of rule breaking and, a lot of stuff. I think that there is going to be one. There's a technology thing that we're working on that I can't talk about, unfortunately. But I think that there's going to be a lot of right now in the restaurant world, there's a lot of disparate systems that don't talk to each other. Like if you walk into one of our restaurants, you'll see 16 tablets, right? Because they got DoorDash and Uber Eats and Caviar and all this stuff for this brand and that brand and that brand. And then those tablets all come, and then a person's got to ring it in to the computer, and then this and that. And so everything's disparate, right? We've got reservations that doesn't talk, you know, the POS doesn't talk to reservations, and, you know, doesn't talk to your accounting software. And right now, there's a lot of technology that's bringing that all together. So it's not disparate. So everything's going to talk to each other, and then you'll get real insight into your business. And that gets me extremely excited.
So Patrick, you know, the drill. Like, the only reason why I have the podcast is for my kids, and I want to, and like these kind of conversations are exactly what I want my kids to hear, because I want them to see that, you know, when we have a brand, and I've learned this, when you have a brand and you think this doesn't align with my brand, and then something shakes it up, then you're like, now I just broke the rules. And if the rules are broken, we can make, I mean, literally we can make Tokyo hot chicken happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, and that's that next level of the game. We're going to have a whole podcast dedicated to Tokyo hot chicken. Did I say it right? Did I say it? I said it right. I'm telling you, any person that gets to have this, this is the best fried chicken on the planet. This is the best fried chicken. And the execution of it is, I mean, unbelievable. I've never had chicken like this. So that's one of those, what you call a ghost kitchen. Am I correct? Or a virtual, right. virtual ghost kitchen.
Yep.
So I did the podcast for my kids, to take iconic people like yourself that literally are shifting the whole community and industries. And I wanted to have them realize that, you know, now I'm going to call you Uncle Patrick. Uncle Patrick is a hardworking dude with a really positive attitude that loves people. And if they do that, they can accomplish their dreams. What advice would you give to Maddox, who's 9, and McKenna, who's 12? And if you could say their names, it would be awesome.
Well, you know, for both Maddox and McKenna, I think that, you know, the one thing that, and I, you know, I don't know, you know, if you guys do this, but the one thing that we do every night, at least every night that I'm home, is we find what we're grateful for. And we also then try, you know, it's like, who did you help today? Right. So what are you grateful for? And who did you help today? And so the reason why I say that is because I think it's extremely important that we always find things to be thankful for. And we always find gratitude. We always find gratitude in our day. And there's going to be tough days, and there's going to be great days. And you know, happiness isn't constant, but I think you talked about joy. When you were on Making Lemonade, like you got the shirt, but you know, in order to, you know, I guess in order to have a joy mindset and to have a joyful life, you have to have gratitude. And so, if as long as you're remembering to have gratitude, and then as long as you're always challenging yourself to help people, I think no matter what, no one's going to be able to take those two things away from you. So start there. Start with finding gratitude and seeing how you can help somebody. And again, like I said in the beginning, it doesn't have to be huge Herculean efforts of help. It could be that you yielded the right of way to somebody in the grocery market so they could get by you, and you made eye contact and said hi. Or it could be that, you know, somebody, somebody fell and you helped them up and got them on their way. Or it's a car fell into a ditch and you helped them get out. It could be big things. It could be small things. But if you're always just trying to find a way to help somebody every day and finding something to be grateful for, nobody can take that from you. So that's the first thing. Then it's really about, I think no matter what, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you build that habit now at 9 years old, at 12 years old, You know, understanding, and yeah, it might be a little intense, but how you do anything is how you will do everything. I tell this to our team members all the time, you know, you might be going to law school, or you might be a musician or an actress, or, you know, studying to be a doctor, and you might not be a busboy or a food server for your whole life, but if you're not able to show up for yourself now and be the best you can be at this time in your life, it certainly is not going to manifest later on when you get to where you want to be, right? And so you've got to practice that now. You have to have a practice about how you do anything is how you do everything, because then it will manifest in other moments and other parts of your life. So those are my three little nuggets for your kids. And, you know, I think it's, you know, find a way to be gratitude, serve others, and know that how you do anything is how you do everything.
Patrick, you honestly, you never cease to amaze me every time I see you. I love you more, man. I respect you more. You are incredible. So I want to thank you for being on the podcast. I want to thank you for already securing the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th episode that you've already committed to.
We got to do one with your pops.
Oh, man, he would die. He would die. I can't wait to have that, man. So I want to thank you. I know you're a busy man and you're off to doing other things and conquering the world, Mr. Tony Stark of the restaurant industry. So I want to thank you again for your time. Now's the time. And we want to thank you guys for listening to the Kelly Cardenas podcast. You know, click the links, subscribe, send it to all your friends, and send it to somebody who needs to hear this, because honestly, like, this guy is top level in any industry. So thank you again, Patrick.
Thank you.